Or,
I'm Vicky Tempe, now Victoria Stapiello. I was a station manager when we built our studios in the early 1980s. All I did then was pitch for money so that we could do this debt-free. We own our own home. We have no mortgage. Not my doing, but all of our doing. We need you to continue to support KBOO as a vibrant, healthy underlayment for all that we build in our community.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives. My guest is Tiffany Ayers, local activist and organizer at Bees and Seeds, which is coming up this Saturday. It's an event celebrating pollinators, seeds, small farmers, and healthy foods, and more. Tiffany Ayers, welcome. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this, how this event came about.
Well, it's basically connected with the March Against Monsanto. I organized the March Against Monsanto in May. And this time around, we decided to opt out of marching because we felt that we needed to focus on local issues such as the 50,000 bees that died in Wilsonville. They didn't die at the hands of Monsanto poison. There are other chemical companies that, you know, are also detrimental to our environment and our health. So we thought we'd make a broader focus, and a lot of people are aware of the bee deaths, and we thought that we would get them out. And we're going to have, you know, a beekeeper speaking and a live hive there for people to look. Obviously, it'll be contained, but
yeah, tell us more about the 50,000 bees that died in Wilsonville.
It's my understanding that what happened was the landscapers actually sprayed safari pesticide on the trees while they were in bloom, which you're not supposed to do. And the bees were feeding on the nectar and the pesticide killed them. It was at a Target in Wilsonville.
Uh-huh. And how long ago was that?
I think it was the summer. I can't remember exactly the date.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that was sort of the impetus for this event?
It was sort of the catalyst to change the messaging.
And what are you trying to message now?
That we need to focus on getting pesticides and genetically engineered seeds that use these pesticides out of our food system, that they're detrimental to bees, they're detrimental to our own health and to the environment.
And just, I believe it was last week, the legislature came to their grand bargain, which also has an impact on this event. It also relates to this event. Do you want to talk about how that relates to this event?
The grand bargain included the SB 863, which preempts local laws for agriculture. There's Jackson County, Lane County, Benton County, and I think also Multnomah County now are trying to put bans on growing GMOs in their counties on the ballots. Jackson County is exempt from this bill because theirs is already approved and is on the November ballot. But this affects the other counties that are trying to get this on their ballots and makes it a state decision regarding agricultural laws. So this will be discussed. We've got Paul Sanfuegos, who is community rights, PDX, he's working on a ban on GMOs in Multnomah County. We'll have George Kimbrell from the Center for Food Safety, who writes the labeling initiatives. We'll be talking about that, as well as talking about the I-522, the labeling law in Washington. We'll have people from there present as well.
Tell us just one liner on what that is for people who might not know what that means.
The I-522 is the labeling initiative in the state of Washington, which would label all foods that are genetically modified so that people have a right to know. And, I mean, they label for food being gluten-free, we should know if there's GMOs in our food, too, if we don't want to eat them.
So I'm speaking with Tiffany Ayers. She is an activist and an organizer of this event on Saturday. Give us the basics of where and when this is happening.
This is happening Saturday and begins at 10 a.m. at Holiday Park, which is in between the Holiday Max station and the Lloyd Center by the DoubleTree Hotel. And it goes on till 4 p.m. We'll have bands, speakers, we'll have vendors and information booths. We'll have a face painting for kids and rock painting to paint like pollinators, the live beehive. We'll have someone teaching how to keep mason bees, food foraging, things like that.
So will people be able to come and go? How do you anticipate that people will be experiencing this event?
I kind of see it sort of like a farmer's market type thing, but then there will be information being presented by speakers, people who are actually doing the real work within legislation. So people can come and go, bring a picnic lunch, just hang out in the park and enjoy the day.
Now, you mentioned the speakers that are happening. Are they happening throughout the day, a separate part of the day? How's that working?
We have like a main stage area, and from 10:30 to 4, there will always be something going on the main stage. And then the information and the kids area will be kind of around the fountain area. So it'll be sort of two separate areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned Paul Cienfuegos. What time? Do you know what time he's speaking?
I think he's at 2:10.
Okay. That's pretty exact. And you mentioned that he's going to be speaking about community rights movement. How does it relate to this topic of bees and seeds?
Because I don't understand exactly his whole entire process of this, but he believes that the community has rights over making their own decisions and not the whole government. So he thinks that locally, we should be able to ban the GMOs. He would probably be a better person to speak about that.
But that's a basic kind of intro to what he would be talking about. And so then you mentioned Mr. Kimbrell. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is?
George Kimbrell he works for the Center for Food Safety. He's a lawyer. He's the first lawyer that actually took Monsanto to the Supreme Court. I believe it was in the Gertsen Farms versus Monsanto, and that had to do with alfalfa. He also helps write the labeling bills and helped write the I-522 and is working on getting one for here as well. So hopefully that will be coming soon.
So he's going to be talking about those issues.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Scott Bates with GMO Free Oregon, who is working with George Kimbrell. We'll have Julia DeGraw from Food and Water Watch. I can't remember exactly who else we have on the lineup. But
and will how would people find out about when someone is speaking, if they wanted to hear Kimbrell, for instance?
We have a schedule on our Facebook event page, which you can link to through our website, which is www.beesandseedspdx.com.
Okay, beesandseedspdx.com. Mm-hmm. You can go there. And this is all connected to World Food Day, and World Food Day is included in the title of the event, Bees and Seeds. Tell us about that and how that connects.
World Food Day is actually happening, I think, on the 16th, but this is tied to the March Against Monsanto's World Food Day. And instead, we're not going to march this time. We're going to have a festival. But March Against Monsanto across the world is also having events linked to World Food Day.
And is World Food Day something that happens every year?
I guess so. Okay. I really didn't know about that until recently.
Okay. I'm speaking with Tiffany Ayers. She's an activist and organizer of Bees and Seeds. What would you like to see? What's your best case scenario for this event, Tiffany? Who would you like to come to it? What would you like to be able to say about it and say it was a great success afterwards?
I'd like everybody to come to it. I think it would be successful if we get people to talk about how they can get involved to make the changes. I mean, we can go out and protest all we want, but really there's other work that needs to be done. We need to get involved with organizations that are working to make these changes. Everybody has a skill that they can offer, whether it's going out and gathering signatures or if they're a graphic designer or whatever, but find out what you can actually do to become a part of this movement and make a change.
And if someone can't come to the event but would like to become involved, how could they link up?
They can link up with us through GMO Free Oregon, Food and Water Watch, Center for Food Safety. Sign up for these groups. You'll get information on how you can help or sign up to be a volunteer.
Okay. And again, the specifics of Bees and Seeds, the time and the place?
It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Holiday Park.
Great. Anything else you want to add before we end, Tiffany?
No, just show up and bring a picnic lunch and learn something, hopefully.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much for coming in. Let people know again, I've been speaking with Tiffany Ayers. The event we've been talking about is Bees and Seeds, coming up this Saturday, October 12th. Thanks a lot. Stay tuned for a segment with Don Merrill and a look at how regulations are faring in the current shutdown climate.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. This morning on Political Perspectives, the ongoing government shutdown is affecting many of the agencies we depend on to keep workers, food, infrastructure, and financial regulations in place. Don Merrill talks with Ronald White, Director of Regulatory Policy for the Center of Effective Government, about some of those effects as the shutdown drags on.
Newly installed Director of Regulatory Policy for the Center for Effective Government. Mr. White, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, you are new to the position, is that right?
I am. I started at the end of August, so I've been here about 6 weeks, come from a background with a training in environmental health sciences, worked in most recently in academia, and then before that for a couple of decades in the public health, public interest sector.
Now, your title, Director of Regulatory Policy, most of your work has been on environmental issues at the state and federal level. I just want to ask you, what is your take on the federal shutdown as it relates to regulations and regulatory issues?
Well, it's really brought any movement on implementing regulations to a screeching halt. There are no regulations being developed at this point, and none certainly being issued or promulgated in the federal government. There is certainly a lot of concern that even some of the existing regulations that are on the books right now, for example, that protect our air, our water, and that relate to cleaning up hazardous waste sites that exist and that have been abandoned. All of those functions, for example, at the Environmental Protection Agency, for the most part, have come to a screeching halt.
That relates to the question I was going to ask you about that. You know, industries that are traditionally known to need the most environmental regulation, are they getting a pass essentially right now because there really isn't anybody to monitor them, or are there reports they don't have to fill out because there's no one to submit them to?
Well, they have reports to fill out. It's just that nobody's looking at the reports that they're filling out. And they certainly are getting a pass. I mean, EPA typically conducts, in 2011, they conducted about 19,000 inspections of polluting facilities, industrial facilities. That works out to about 365 inspections per week. So just in the more than 1 week that we've had a shutdown of the federal government, probably close to 400 inspections have not taken place in industrial facilities in terms of pollution emissions.
And we're not just talking about industrial facilities. I mean, we're talking about industries related to food services and all kinds of other things as well.
Well, that's true. The food situation is a little bit more complex because we have such a convoluted food safety regime here in the United States right now. Meats, poultry are inspected by the Department of Agriculture through the Food Security Inspection Service. And the FSIS inspects all of those facilities on site, and all of those inspectors are actually working because they've been exempt under the shutdown. However, other foods are under the jurisdiction of the Federal Food and Drug Administration, and the Food and Drug Administration has suspended their inspections, for example, of imports of fruits and vegetables, so on, that are being imported into the United States. So while one aspect of our food system is working, the other aspect that covers a different set of foods is not working. And